Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, globally, we have seen a major increase in digital wallet usage and adoption. And that adoption and usage has really surged 3 years ahead of expectations, really due to COVID-19 in 2020. Now, with that being said, it is therefore important for merchants to now focus on providing an easy and frictionless experience for consumers to pay how they want and wherever they are engaging with the brand. Now, you don't have to take my word for it, because on today's episode, we're going to be unpacking data from a recent Black Hawk survey titled Global Digital Payments Insights with Tristan Rafi, who is the Vice President of Strategy and Digital Innovation at Black Hawk Network, and Sarah Grotta, who is the Director of the Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group. Now, there's certainly a lot of data and insight to unpack on today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show. So Tristan and Sarah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode, where we're going to be taking a deep dive into digital wallet usage here. Now, Tristan, I'd like to start the conversation with you here, because I was able to get my hands on some recent research provided by Black Hawk here that's taking a look at global digital payment insights. And there were a lot of really interesting and key insights from that report, but I'm curious to get your perspective of maybe if there was anything that kind of surprised you in the data or any of the key highlights that really our audience should be aware of. And before you respond to that, I just want to let our audience know that we're going to be providing a link to where our audience can go ahead and download all of these survey findings and these results in the article below. So Tristan, perhaps maybe you could unpack some of these survey findings.
Yeah, no, thanks, Ryan. So last year, we really reached a tipping point in terms of digital wallet utilization. And what we're finding is that not only are there a lot more consumers that are using them for the first time, but the consumers that were using them prior to the pandemic are now using them more frequently. We're also finding that consumers spend more when they use digital wallets, but there's still some frustration amongst consumers around lack of acceptance. Now, granted, the bulk of those digital wallet transactions are still originating online. But if we look at QR code scanning, which really wasn't a thing in the US even 18 months ago, it's really everywhere, right? From menus at restaurants to touch-free payments at grocery and convenience stores like Giant Eagle and GetGo. And our survey suggests that 84% of consumers want to use these digital wallets to pay in store. So we're seeing growing adoption, but I think the ultimate goal for merchants is to allow consumers to pay how they want and make that experience as friction-free and convenient as possible.
That's great background, Tristan. And, you know, I was just looking at your study and you have a lot of really great detail in that document. So for anyone who's looking for some support for some initiative that they may have around digital wallets, I think that that's a great resource with some pretty compelling data. Yeah. And when I'm looking at the market for digital payments and kind of assessing, is the market really ready for some of the constituents to jump in? There's a few indicators that I'm looking for. Of course, the consumer adoption that you mentioned, but even beyond that top line number, when you find that consumers who really don't consider themselves to be tech forward are finding value in wallets for e-commerce and in store, then you really know that you're moving into mass adoption. And that's really certainly beginning to occur. And another data point that we were able to determine through some of our studies is that we're finding that the overall trust in mobile wallets is also increasing. So we're finding that around 52% of US consumers now believe that mobile digital payments are more secure in card payments. So I think that's kind of an interesting marker in the payments industry. And so we've got, it's a payment, so we got to look at the other side of the equation too and take a look at what's happening with merchants, and adoption on the merchant side has certainly been growing a lot too. And the pandemic really pushed that along. So in looking at market readiness there, I kind of like to also look beyond the big box stores to really understand how small businesses are adopting these types of payments. And we're finding that adoption among small businesses for digital payments in store is now approaching 50%. And again, this is a US number, where mobile has really lagged a lot of the non-US markets. And you also mentioned QR codes. And I think that that's just really going to help to feed and or create that sort of foundation for future growth, right? I mean, we saw QR codes sort of pop up about 10 years ago in Asia. And it's just now, I think, really finding its place here in the US. And because I think it's not a particularly tech heavy payment itself, it's really winning over both large and small merchants. And snapping a QR code's not really a new experience for consumers. So again, I think that's really helping to lay the foundation for fast growth.
Yeah, I certainly think that that was a very fantastic point there. But I'm kind of curious, because we were talking obviously in terms of the COVID-19 impact that has played really in kind of the adoption or acceleration of digital wallet usage. And, you know, we kind of split it somewhat into two camps here, where it was kind of, okay, there's the online side of things, the e-commerce side of things, which we certainly know COVID-19 has played a huge impact on. I mean, we've seen a large increase or rise in e-commerce over the past 18 months. But I'm kind of curious because, Sarah, you brought up QR codes there and kind of the significant impact that they've certainly had for in-store. But Tristan, I kind of want to get your side of things here, of what you're seeing in terms of how COVID-19 has really impacted the consumer digital wallet usage for that in-store experience.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, and Ryan and Sarah, I don't know about you guys, but I certainly expect a touch-free experience. I think once you've kind of become accustomed to paying in a touch-free, contactless manner, as we have in Canada, and I live in Toronto, there's no going back, right? It's a cleaner transaction. It's a safer transaction. It's faster. It's better. I mean, there's a million reasons why people enjoy paying this way, and it makes a ton of sense for me as a consumer, and I think it makes a lot of sense for merchants. There's actually some data to suggest that if a merchant isn't offering their consumers a contactless payment experience, that there's some consumers that just won't shop there anymore. I'm actually one of those consumers myself. So I don't think we're going to go in reverse as it relates to contactless payments. I think second, you've got this shift in consumer payment preferences, particularly amongst younger consumers, toward these kind of non-traditional alternative in-app based methods of payment. Buy now, pay later is a perfect example of that. And these types of transactions tend to originate inside of an app. And again, for the most part, these are transactions that are, again, done in sort of a touch-free kind of manner. I think the third thing you have is you've got smartphone penetration in North America that's close to 100% at this point. And you've got, to Sarah's point, new form factors like QR that can enable payment from any app, right? We're not reliant on Apple Pay in order to facilitate a transaction on a mobile device anymore. I can now originate a payment using a QR from any application. So that combined with merchants finally having, I mean, it's taken a long time, but they finally have the hardware infrastructure, the scanners and terminals to be able to support mobile payment. I think all of these things together kind of create an environment where usage of digital wallets in store and QR as a primary form factor can really start to take off. Last year, we actually saw some really big players like PayPal and Venmo making some big announcements. They announced an enterprise partnership with CVS, Giant Eagle, Nike, and about 20 other enterprise merchants. PayPal now reports that they've processed, I think it was about $6 billion in QR and card volume in Q1 of this year. Most of the big buy now, pay later companies are supporting in-store either through some type of tokenized network branded card or QR codes. And so I think this year and next year are really going to be build years for mobile wallet acceptance in store. And this is something that's really going to take off in 2023 as that kind of value proposition for mobile wallets becomes even more compelling, given their ability to support a variety of different sources of funding, whether it be installments or stored value like gift cards, loyalty points, coupons, digital assets. We're seeing a lot in the crypto space right now, in addition to just kind of the core value proposition around debit and credit.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I wanted to run something by you. It's something I hear a lot. It's that the payments industry doesn't change very quickly, right? Merchants don't change very quickly and consumers are very slow to adopt a new payment type. But I think what we're seeing now, particularly in the last year and a half, is that, you know, if you put the right value proposition in front of them, both consumers and merchants will change their payment habits actually on a dime, right? If the right incentive is in front of them. And I think it's a matter of technology and maybe to a certain degree, sort of what's fallen out of the pandemic.
And I think a perfect example of that, Sarah, is what's been going on in Australia for the last 5 years with Buy Now, Pay Later. BNPL now represents not only a significant portion of transaction volume online, consumers are actively using these things in store as well. And so to your point, provided there's a compelling enough value propositions, consumers will change their habits.
Yeah, and I think that there were a lot of very direct points there in terms of, I mean, you called out in terms of the payment process of QR codes by PayPal there, and then a lot of the other methods there that you were pointing out, and kind of there's that reason that merchants should really enable a digital wallet's experience for their consumers. But maybe kind of like, I'd want to put like a little bit more data behind this and like maybe also ask the question, I mean, if a merchant is looking to enable a digital wallet acceptance at their locations, is it something that maybe that they'll see an additional lift in terms of purchase volume from consumers by doing this? Kind of, are there other benefits other than just kind of saying like, okay, well, you'll enable this and this will help you to retain the current customers that we have? I mean, are you seeing anything from a data perspective that shows that they'll get an additional lift by enabling this?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, some of the surveyed shopper data that we put together suggests that most consumers will spend more money with merchants that offer more digital payment methods. We know that things like gift cards, as an example, which Blackhawk has been doing for the last 20 years, are proven payment methods that increase basket size. Buy now, pay later is another example of that. And so along with shopping more frequently and spending more at retailers where consumers can use digital payment methods, most consumers also just find that it makes that shopping experience easier. And so part of this is just about offering your customers a convenient, fast shopping experience. The other thing I would say is that digital wallets are about much more than just payments. Most of these wallets are incredibly effective at driving merchant awareness and trial. I keep talking about buy now, pay later. I'm going to use them as another example. But most of these buy now, pay later companies, as an example, have thriving affiliate marketplaces that drive millions and millions of leads to merchants on a daily basis. In addition to consistently rewarding their customers for shopping at merchants that accept them. We're running a promotion right now with PayPal at Giant Eagle, where consumers are getting $10 off of their grocery purchase of $40 or more. That's a fantastic value for consumers. We're effectively giving them 25% off their grocery purchases, and it's being funded by the wallet. Another partner of ours, Bakkt, is running a promotion with Quiznos, where they're rewarding consumers with $15 in cryptocurrency when they make their first purchase using the Bakkt wallet. So if merchants aren't accepting these digital wallets, not only are they losing out on the traffic that can be generated by these digital payment methods, but they're also missing out on a considerable amount of promotional dollars that goes in their pockets and the pockets of their consumers.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. It kind of, I mean, when I hear you talking about it, it seems like it's really starting to give merchants control over the payment because they have control over sort of all of the other surrounding components around rewards and things like that.
Yeah, and I think the other trend that we're seeing, Sarah, is, you know, historically payments has kind of sat within the treasury department of a lot of these larger organizations, and you're starting to get the marketing departments much more interested in payments because they've seen how effective these tools can be at creating customer loyalty, driving foot traffic, increasing basket size, which is really the purview of the marketing department, not treasury.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point there, because I mean, for the past, I mean, I want to say probably about 18 months or so ago, a large topic was also kind of really breaking down data silos. I mean, do you really kind of see it then that digital wallets is part of this play to be able to break down some of those data silos, particularly for merchants, so they can get a little bit better of it, or I should say a more holistic view of their consumers?
Absolutely. And I think for merchants that don't really have a good understanding of who their customers are, that's where these new methods of payment can help. Because if I'm using a mobile wallet in store and the merchant doesn't know who that customer is, the digital wallet certainly does. And so I think it opens up a whole new world of possibilities for merchants, again, who may not know who exactly is shopping in their store if they're not using a loyalty card, to leverage these as platforms to be able to push very personalized offers out to their customers.
Excellent. Now, before we wrap things up here, I kind of want to leave our audience with kind of some things that they should really be focusing on here, because a lot of the conversation that we've been talking about is really providing that frictionless payment experience for consumers, because that's kind of a bit of a broad term here. So then let's put maybe some bullet points around it, or some kind of like a, hey, you should really focus on XYZ elements here. What then really are the steps that merchants should take to focus on providing that easy and frictionless payment experience for consumers? And then also maybe kind of the other side of that coin of like, what is the risk a merchant may face by not doing anything at all?
So first and foremost, ensuring that they've got the right infrastructure in place to support the experience is critical. So the right technology at the point of sale, the right point of sale configurations, coupled, I think, with materials to make sure that they're educating consumers that these new methods of payment exist, right? So anything that they can do to drive in-store awareness. The next thing is cashier education. That's an absolutely critical piece. Obviously, we're talking about doing something that's slightly different than what they're doing today. So making sure that they're training cashiers and Black Hawk is training cashiers is a key thing that everybody needs to make sure is taking place. Now, of course, you know, companies like Black Hawk, we specialize in this. I mean, we've been doing this for the last 20 years. We're really good at executing things at retail, at making sure that cashiers are comfortable processing new methods of payment. So we're here to kind of guide merchants along their journey to ensure that they're maximizing the benefit of these new payment methods while minimizing any disruption, of course, to the store. And making that experience as great, as magical as we possibly can for the consumer. I think the risk of not executing something like this properly, it's pretty straightforward. It's you're going to turn consumers off. It's going to be a poor consumer experience. You're going to get poor conversion rates. And I think, unfortunately, longer term, you're not going to form that habit, that habituation that is really necessary in order for these things to take off long term.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll end it on that note there. So Tristan, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about digital wallet usage. And we'll, again, for our audience, we'll make sure that we have links to all the content that we were talking about in the article below. So Tristan, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks, Ryan.